Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And even though this is Tuesday, we still remind everyone our Monday show is always brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day. You would think that Madison Bumgarner would hit a home run, not Eric Kratz.
Kratz hits this one down the left field line toward the wall. Pagan leaps, and does he have it? No, it's gone. A home run for Kratz. Eric Kratz with a home run, his first. This time around, it's a Pirate, and the Pirates lead it 1-0.
Joe Block in a state of shock. Kratz is 2-46 on the season. Or check it, he's 3-46. 3-46 on the season. A single, a double in last night's home run. Madison Bumgarner has more home runs this year than Kratz. Kratz, of course, used to play for the Phillies. Actually had back-to-back 9 home run years with the Phillies. But he's 36 now. The Pirates need a catcher because Francisco Cervelli's out 4 to 6 weeks. They called up Jacob Stallings, who started his career here with the State College Spikes. And I'll tell you, I'm happy. Jacob's one of the really great guys that came through here. His father, Kevin, is the head basketball coach at Pitt, used to be at Vanderbilt. Got to know Kevin really well. So it turns out here's Kevin now coaching in Pittsburgh. Jacob's now playing for the Pirates. It couldn't have worked out any better for a really great family. But Eric Kratz, they have him involved in this thing because Chris Stewart, backup catcher is very much like backup quarterback in the NFL. You're expected in the NFL as a backup quarterback that if something happens to the starter, we can really get by and survive for a couple of games with you as the quarterback. But you're not a long-term solution. Same thing in the majors. A guy like Chris Stewart's effective when they spot play him and so forth. Playing him on an everyday basis, with all due respect, is not going to be a plus for the club. Well, so you go out and, you know, but he's going to have to be the long-term solution because Cervelli's out. But you have to have somebody else. So they brought up Stallings from Indianapolis, and, of course, they were able to acquire Kratz, who is on his, what, fourth team in the last 6 months? And he homered last night. 1-0 the final. Jeff Locke got the win. Bumgarner lost, went 8 innings, and lowered his ERA. Joe Block sounded like, yeah, you're kidding me. Yeah, kind of like that, you're kidding me on the air stuff. Like, really? That ball's hit down the line and, ooh, it's deep. Baseball's a funny game.
When was the last time a play like that at a Spikes game, or maybe even with a Penn State game, like with a receiver, did he get in bounds? Did he not get in bounds? When was the last time that kind of knocked you for a loop, or you kind of had to think on the fly to make sure you're making the right call?
Never. No. Well, first of all, you know, it has to come from an unexpected source. You know, and every once in a while, you know, a guy will put together a game. You're like, hey, wow, you know, he put together a really good game. But it's not as if, like, in practice, I haven't seen the guy before do something, some really good stuff. So it's not like, I've never seen anybody go out and play a game that was above any practice they ever had. You know, it's different. Kratz, I mean, Kratz is a guy that, I mean, he's 36. He didn't make the majors till he's 30 years old. So he's a lifer. He's hung in there. He's made himself some money. He's never played more than 68 games in the season. But I want you to remember something. To be in the major leagues, I don't care if it's the NFL, the NHL, the NBA, Major League Baseball, PGA Tour, tennis tour, whatever. To get there, do you know how good you have to be there? So now that's the separator line. You're good. You got there. You're good enough. Now you fall into different categories among the people who got there. Superstar, star, great player, good player, productive player, role player, relief pitcher, starting pitcher, dominant starting pitcher, closer, utility guy, you know, you're there, but you're good enough to get there. Then you fall into a category. And Kratz is, for the last 7 years, has kind of fallen into that category of, look, I'm here, I'm good enough to be here, you know, I'm not going to the All-Star game. But yeah, unexpected. Yeah, I don't really think of anybody. I mean, I remember in the 90s. It was the 90s, yeah. It was the 1990 season. Gary Brown and Leroy Thompson got hurt before the game at Boston College. And Shelly Hammonds, who had been playing defensive back, was moved to tailback, and he gained 208 yards. You're like, okay, not bad. So, I mean, you see stuff like that happen once in a while. I mean, I remember one night, trying to think which player. Penn State had a player hit 7 3-pointers in a game against Purdue. And it wasn't as if this player had ever hit 3-pointers, but he hit 7 in one game. You're like, going, oh, okay, great. You know, of course, it swung the game. I mean, you've seen stuff like that. You'll get unexpected sources, but like in a game like this, the guy is 2 for 46 on the year. Hey, you're Bumgarner. You're like, yeah, we're okay here. Also, Bumgarner is not sitting there thinking, oh my goodness, here in the fifth inning, I've lost the game. He's not thinking that. He's down 1-0. It doesn't become apparent to him that they're in deep trouble until he exits in the eighth. That stuff's, you know. How many times have you heard me say, Sean, they all take on different personalities? Every game does. There's no. That's why sports is completely different, and why, and we got to get into this topic too about the Big Ten contracts. Why are the contract rights so high right now? Contract rights are so high right now because the Cavaliers and the Warriors, you know what they drew? An 18.1 rating. Wow, oh wow. No, I'm sorry. My apologies. 18.9 rating. An 18.9 rating. And nobody knew how that was going to turn out. Nobody did. And that's why people love and enjoy sports so much. The Big Ten, they're going to announce this probably at Media Day in Chicago in the first week of August. But this is how it's going to play out. Fox is going to get 6 years at $240 million a year, which is about $1.4 billion for 50 basketball games and 25 football games a year. $240 million a year, 6 years. Each year, $240. ESPN is going to get the second set of rights, 50 basketball games, 25 football games a year, for $190 million a year. CBS is going to get a regular season package of games, I think something like 6 to 8 games, plus the Big Ten semifinals and the Big Ten championship game. And they're going to get that for, what was the number I saw on that? $60 million. $60 million. I think it comes out to $10 million a year or something. I think it's like $10 million a year or something, like some number like that. So all told, when you put it all together, those contracts are $440 million a year. And that does not include the money from the Big Ten Network. That does not include the money from the college football playoff and the bowl system. Doesn't include any of that. And it doesn't include NCAA tournament money that's split. $190 million. So Fox is going to get the first pick on games to either be on Fox or Fox Sports 1. So you can expect, starting in 2017, for example, Penn State, Ohio State to be on Fox. You could expect Ohio State, Michigan to be on Fox. You can expect Michigan, Penn State to be on Fox. Also, Fox will get the Big Ten football championship game every year. ESPN will then get the second choice. And that could be on ABC, ESPN or ESPN2 or ESPNU. My understanding is ESPNU, which carried a fair amount of games this past year, will probably end up with no Big Ten games. So it's really going to be on ABC, ESPN, or ESPN2 as the second choice. Then Fox gets the third choice. That's how it's going to work. Fox knows it needs the Big Ten more than the Big Ten needs Fox, although, and because of that, they pay $240 million a year to get there. ESPN, which had not bid high enough originally, thus lost out, then knew that they had to keep the Big Ten themselves, because I pointed out many times that the footprint is New York, Philadelphia, Baltimore, Washington, Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Columbus, Cincinnati, Detroit, Indianapolis, Chicago, Milwaukee, Madison, Minneapolis, Omaha, Lincoln, Des Moines. These are all big markets. No other footprint can deliver those kind of markets. Even though there's more population in the ACC footprint, nobody delivers all these markets. ESPN, which is having trouble with cord cutting, could not afford to lose that footprint. And I think the tip-off that ESPN was going to stay in the ballgame, and it became very clear to me in the month of May that ESPN was going to be in the ballgame. You know what the tip-off was? Coaches' meetings took place in May. And you did not hear the Big Ten basketball coaches complaining about what could happen with the TV contract. Each one said that they thought Jim Delaney was on track and doing a great job. That's because I'm sure that Jim Delaney went in there and said, look, we're really close to an ESPN deal. The basketball coaches did not want the Big Ten off the ESPN footprint. The fact that you heard no Big Ten coaches complain about the contract negotiations or a concern about the negotiations, that was the tip-off. ESPN was right in the thick of what was going on. My understanding is Jim Delaney had these contracts done after a sit-down with both networks 2 weeks ago. There are times where Big Ten fans and Penn State fans have been angry with Jim Delaney. That comes with the territory of being commissioner. We discussed that a little bit on the show. Well, remember, we had Jim Delaney on the show last year. Jim does not do a lot of shows. He did our show. We always have appreciated that. Jim Delaney has been brilliant. Has been brilliant when it comes to the art of negotiation. Every school in this league has dramatically profited by his skill as a negotiator. The facilities in the league have improved because people have had money to do it, and he's made sure he's kept them out front and had the finances in order to do things. So you may not be happy with a decision he has made here or there. You may not be, the commissioner is always going to be a target anyway. Maybe not to Gary Bettman's level. But Jim Delaney has been, remember, he worked hard to get Notre Dame into this league in 99. Very, very hard. It didn't work. But he did not cave on what about having a full commitment. Either Notre Dame was all in or they're out. And I've respected that always. I do not respect what the Big East did with Notre Dame, and I do not respect what the ACC did with Notre Dame at all. None. No respect. You're either all in as part of the conference or you're all out. And he then made the move eventually to get Nebraska as a 12th team, which then brought with it the championship game and $25 million more. He then extended the footprint out to get Maryland and Rutgers in, because it put officially, even though Penn State delivers a lot in New York and delivers a lot in Washington and Baltimore, it officially put Baltimore, Washington, and New York in play as markets that are part of the Big Ten footprint, which then gave him more negotiating power. It also gave Penn State an Eastern partner, two Eastern partners, which I thought was significant, and I've never forgotten that Jim said repeatedly, he must have said it, if he said it once, I think he said it maybe 20 to 30 times in the press conferences. Penn State's the bridge that got us Maryland. Penn State's the bridge that got us Rutgers. Right? And he did it for TV, but I also think he did it to make sure Penn State stayed a part of what was going on. I've always felt that. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Summer 2016 is officially here, and Sunbury Motors Kia is making it worry-free.
Kia. Drive a brand new
new Kia this summer. Worry-free with no payments due until November. It's the Summers on Us sales event at Sunbury Motors Kia. Now that summer is officially here, buy a new in-stock 2016 Optima, Optima Hybrid, Forte, and Soul, and pay nothing for the summer. With Kia taking care of your first two payments and 90 days deferred payments, you get up to 5 months before your first payment is due. That's November. And with Kia's 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty, we're talking a worry-free ride with no payments to make. And you also get 0% financing for up to 66 months. Summer's officially here, but the Summers on Us sales event will only be around until the July 4th holiday. So you have to hurry in to Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip at Hummel's Wharf and at sunburymotors.com.
Tax extra. 0% APR financing to all qualified customers through PAM app. Restrictions apply. Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty. For details, see retailer or go to kia.com.
You just don't think about insurance. You buy a home, you take out a policy, and you forget about it until something happens and you need it. Then you think about insurance a lot. My agent recommended insurance from Selective. Insurance for our home and property, jewelry, even the food in our refrigerator. Selective thinks about everything, so I don't have to.
Selective. Response is everything. Get to know us at Selective.com.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Pretty Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at PrettyInsurance.com. Find out what Pretty Insurance can do for you.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
What was the Monty Python routine? We just heard what Mark put in there was brilliant. The Monty Python routine, where I think, doesn't that continue? And then it becomes, like, one of them becomes really insulting. And he says, I'm just here to have an argument. He goes, you're here to have an argument? Yes. He says, oh, I'm sorry. He says, my apologies to you. He says, why is that? He says, this is abuse. The argument's one room down. Oh, I will give Monty Python all the credit in the world. They were funny. They were funny. Always thought, he says, I'm here for an argument. He goes, oh, I'm sorry. My apologies. This is abuse. He says, arguments. Oh, yes, well, my apologies again. All right. Time now for our sports bozo of the day. Former Miami Dolphins wide receiver Devon Bess is facing charges after allegedly getting into a standoff with police at his suburban Phoenix home. A judge ordered Bess released on $2,500 bond last night after his arrest on one felony count of endangerment, unlawful flight, and failure to stop for a police officer. According to the charging documents, Bess was stopped in Gilbert, Arizona late Sunday for driving without his headlights on. The documents say he pointed his finger like a gun at the officers and moved it up and down, mimicking a firing gun. Police say Bess then fled to his home where he waved a knife while still in the car. Documents say he refused police commands and walked into his home. Police Sergeant Jesse Sanger says a SWAT team then entered after getting a search warrant and Bess was taken into custody. A Maricopa County public defender will be assigned to the case. While out on bond, Bess cannot possess any weapons or drugs while without a valid prescription. Bess played for the Dolphins from 2008 to 2012. He played for the Browns in 2013 and was released after the season. To his credit, a clear winner today. Stanley Cup, by the way, is in Las Vegas today. A prelude to them getting a team. How about Mike Lang on Friday? He says, they're all going to come in from the casinos. They're all going to be red from staying out in the sun. He said, they're going to have a better home record than people realize. I thought that was great.
Yeah, he was great. If you missed the interview, check out stevejonesshow.com. Click podcast. Got them all archived there.
All right, so let's get to the Big Ten TV contracts again and run through this for you quickly. The Big Ten contracts are now being reviewed by legal teams, and that's why they probably won't officially announce them until the luncheon Big Ten kickoff meetings. All right, Look, there's enough language in there. They're gonna need legal teams to go through it. Anything that's worth $2.64 billion, you have to make sure everything is copacetic across the board legally. So here's the outline for you. Fox, $240 million a year for 6 years. They get the first choice. So you can expect Penn State, Michigan, Penn State, Ohio State, Michigan, Ohio State. They're all going to be on Fox. They're also going to put a lot of games on Fox Sports 1. This is going to be part of Fox Sports 1's savior time. They needed the Big Ten. They needed a mega property. They got one. ESPN really couldn't afford to lose the Big Ten, so they get the second tier rights. So the first tier rights is for 25 football games a year, 50 basketball games a year, and the Big Ten football championship game. $240 million a year, 6 years. ESPN gets the second choice. Again, 25 football games, 50 basketball games at $190 million per year. CBS, for $10 million a year for 6 years, a total of $60 million, gets some select basketball games in the regular season and the Big Ten semifinals and the Big Ten championship game. All of this put together brings it to $440 million a year. This does not include money each school gets from the Big Ten network, which is anywhere from $7 to $10 million a year apiece. So that's then added on per school. So it doesn't include the Big Ten Network money they're all getting now. And that contract with the Big Ten Network still has, I think, 16 years to run. It does not include bowl money. It does not include NCAA tournament distribution. And it does not include individual contracts that schools have signed for radio and corporate rights. Penn State's is with Learfield. Michigan's is with IMG. Michigan State was the last Power 5 conference to sign a deal, and that was with Fox. Everybody has their own deals like this. Michigan's deal, for example, with IMG is a 12-year deal worth $86 million. And that deal began in 2008. That's, you know, the next time that they negotiate, that will be 2020. That $86 million is going to be a small number. IMG is going to pay, or whomever. Could be Learfield, could be IMG, could be anybody. It's going to pay a lot more. What's 12 into 86, Sean? What's that, $7
million? Yes.
Right? $7 million a year? Okay. Just so you know, Penn State's deal with Learfield per year is higher than that. Michigan State just signed a 15-year deal at $150 million with Fox. Okay, that's more years than Penn State has on its deal with Learfield, but the dollar figure is in the same neighborhood per year that Penn State gets. So that gives you a better idea. Okay?
Now, the current Penn State deal with Learfield, how many years are left on that?
I want to say six. I think it's through, it might be seven. I think it might be through 2023. They just extended it. They've gone through a couple of extensions. I know they extended it, and I think it might be through 23 now. See, so there's a lot in here that's not included. Your own individual radio and corporate rights are separate, your bowl money, your NCAA distribution money, and your Big Ten network money is not included in this $440 million a year. That $440 million a year is just for Fox ESPN, and CBS. That's it. All the other stuff is then added on to it, on top of it. What does this now mean for you, the fan? It means that this year everything stays the same. This is the final year of the current contract, so everything remains the same. You will find games on ABC, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPNU, Big Ten Network. That's where you'll find Big Ten games, your Penn State games this year when you go to look for them. And when it comes to basketball, you will find it on some on CBS, a lot on ESPN and ESPN2, and a lot on ESPNU, and, of course, the Big Ten Network. But then starting in 17, the fall of 17, Fox becomes, I mean, if it's a big game in the Big Ten, Fox is going to be the one carrying it. They have the first choice every week of what game. Penn State plays Michigan at Beaver Stadium in 17. You better believe Fox is carrying that game. Penn State plays Ohio State. When they go to Columbus in 17, I can guarantee you Fox is carrying that game. Michigan plays Ohio State. Fox is carrying that game. Then there'll be a series of games that'll be on Fox Sports 1. ESPN will get the second choice. They'll put it on either ABC, ESPN, or ESPN2. You can now expect exponentially fewer games on ESPNU involving Big Ten teams in football and in basketball. Same story in basketball. Fox will get first choice, ESPN second, and so forth. Basketball coaches wanted very much for ESPN to stay in the mix. By staying in the ball game with ESPN, there is also a residual domino to this, and that is the potential of being ignored, for example, by game day. Well, now that they have another contract and it's going to be 6 years on ESPN and they're going to be carrying games, you can expect the same exact same coverage from ESPN game day. Now, ESPN game day will say, no, we don't know. Look, notice how after a contract was signed with the Pac-12, they get a little more coverage than those days when they were on Fox Sportsnet. And the same thing in college basketball. They're going to have enough. They're going to have as many games as Fox in football, and as many games as Fox in basketball. And believe me, things play out differently week to week. ESPN's going to get its fair share of really good games, and Fox has an opportunity to get a chunk of great games potentially. The next part is these are six-year deals. The Big Ten, which was last to negotiate in this cycle, will be the first to negotiate in the next cycle. Interesting. Very interesting. These deals also financially set the Big Ten and the SEC completely apart from the ACC, the Pac-12, and the Big 12. What the SEC has and what the Big Ten is getting, they are now in the 1A and 1B category, depending on what order on a particular day you want to have them. Meanwhile, in the Class 2 category, in terms of money, that's where you've got the Big 12, the Pac-12, and the ACC. That's where they are now. They're in that second tier financially. The other conferences like the American Conference USA, Mountain West, all fall into the third category. But the Big Ten and the SEC are now way out in front. Dick and Milton. Dick, I'm sorry I did not see the call. I apologize if I made you wait. I feel badly about that. Sorry.
No, that's fine. You asked a question that I have a little bit of a different answer to. What's it do for the fan? But I'll tell you what I think it does. It's no wonder these kids are not stupid that are playing college sports, especially football. And you know what? They'll want a bigger chunk of this revenue. They almost have to demand something here. The numbers are such, this doesn't even include the amount of money that a team makes for running their football team at Beaver Stadium or, you know, going to a game at Michigan. So consequently, there's an awful lot of money floating around here that these college kids are responsible for every game. And I just think they're going to want, they're not stupid kids. They're going to eventually say, Jesus, mighty, all this money's out here. We're getting an education, but somebody's making a lot of money on us. I can just see that that's just going to exasperate that thing there where these kids want more of a share of this revenue somewhere down the line.
Really good point. Really good question. Here's the issue that they're going to have and what the argument's going to be, Dick. The issue is going to be that this money comes in and it's support. And this is where Mark Emmert and it made a mistake in the O'Bannon trial. This money all comes in. And the reality is it supports everything else. So the stipend, for example, that a football player gets is the exact same stipend a full scholarship wrestler gets. And that's a big, that's a huge difference there because wrestling does not bring in, wrestling loses money, as an example. Penn State sells out every wrestling match and it still can't get back to breaking even in doing it. Football and men's basketball carry the freight in this, and your stipends go to full scholarship athletes in women's basketball, softball, baseball, field hockey, men's soccer, wrestling, women's, men's gymnastics. So you're talking about 800 student athletes that are all getting a stipend right now. Of the 800 student athletes at Penn State, at the moment, let's see, 81 plus 12 is what, 93 plus 20 in men's hockey, which for the moment's making money. That's what, you know, 115 student athletes out of the 800 are actually in sports that are bringing in money. So how do you then look at them and say, well, you know, we're the ones bringing in money. We deserve more money. They aren't, so they don't. And that becomes, to me, a sticky problem.
I don't disagree with anything you're saying. I just can see that down the road this is going to be an issue with some of these kids. I really do. They're bringing an awful lot of money in.
Dick, I think it's going to be an issue with an enterprising law firm that looks at some kids and say, you know, you're getting ripped off by this. That's where it's going to come from. I don't think it's going to come from the kids themselves.
Well, yeah, but they're impressionable. They're just young kids, and you know, right. By and large, I just think they're going to want a bigger slice of this pie. I really can see it. I hope I'm wrong, but we'll see what happens down the road.
It also becomes another issue in that the ACC and the SEC, and I'm sorry, not the SEC, the ACC, Big 12, Pac-12, they aren't making as much money in their deals. So, I mean, I completely see your point, completely see it. And I don't think you're wrong about that. For example, Kane Coulter, remember him from Northwestern, Dick? He's the one that put the lawsuit together on, he got them to vote on a union.
I know they had to Northwestern.
Yeah. Well, he got that after talking to, was it the Steelworkers Union? And they got involved and they said, yeah, this, you know, and so they, you know, and you're right, impressionable they are, and there will be somebody enterprising that will try to impress them in the direction you're talking about. And I think you're absolutely right about that.
I just know that the figures are really getting, they're a lot. There's an awful lot of money involved here. Somebody's making it. They're saying, Jesus, not us. I can just see it. But we'll see down the road. I hope I'm wrong. We'll see what happens.
I think you make a really good point. The point that's going to be made, if I'm in the athletics business, the point I make is, okay, all this money's coming in, and look, we're trying to support everybody else too. So do we want, you know, and I'm playing devil's advocate with you right now, Dick, because I'm completely with you on what your point is. But in devil's advocate, it would be, okay, they're the only sports making money. We got to drop all the other ones, and we'll just make it semi-professional. And, you know, you and I both don't want that. That's not what we want. But I don't know if that's how it turns out.
Yeah, I don't know what happens down the road here. I don't know. I just, you know, we haven't even factored in the cost of how much some of the, how much revenue is involved with some of these teams as far as going to a game, especially football. I mean, it's expensive.
Yeah,
it's almost.
Yeah, you're right about that. Because that part I did not include in my financial thing. I didn't even mention what each school brings in from their own devices. I mean, I was talking today about basketball with somebody here, and I said men's basketball here has a potential to really help the athletic department. By selling more tickets, they could potentially, just by selling more tickets, bring in another $1 million in revenue a year, which would then help out. Because they're the ones that have a chance to have a really good product, and then they have room to grow attendance-wise at the Jordan Center. Take, for example, wrestling. Wrestling sells out Rec Hall, so there's not room financially to grow right. any further than that unless you go to the BJC.
Well, I had season tickets at the first 2 years they opened Bryce Jordan, and it was full, and Bruce Parkell was coaching
yes.
that team. I mean, there was a lot
yep.
of people there. I wouldn't kid you a lot. And I'm not going to go there in a sense, but what happened is as season ticket holders that moved over there from Rec Hall, we had worse seats. I could have told you this before. I could go online and get a better ticket than what they treated us. And I thought that was unfair. We were in the upper deck.
Dick, I completely agree with what you say about what happened in 1996. That was a big disappointment to me. If you were in Rec Hall and you went through all those years where you've, to me, those are your points, that you showed up all the time. You should have had a pick of your seat in the Jordan Center because you earned it. I agree with you.
Well, there's tobacco places, and you bought tickets online, and we're in the lower level, better seats than what we had as season ticket holders at the when we gave them up.
Yeah.
That's the part I just didn't think that was fair, but there again, it's... You know, we
no,
can debate this
you.
All day. It's kind of like the tickets for big events now get sold on StubHubs in these places before the season ticket yeah. holders even get a chance to get NCAA tickets for wrestling and stuff. I'm not sure what that's all about either.
Do you hear me arguing
yeah.
with you?
No,
I'm supporting you.
Yeah.
I completely agree. I'm in complete agreement with you.
Well, anyhow, I just heard you say what to do for the fan, and I just threw the student
yeah.
athlete in there as a sideline.
Well. Yeah, and you get that big screen TV. What do you have, Dick? But 80 inch big screen TV, flat screen? No, I'm just kidding.
I just listen to the game zone when I'm home on the radio to you and Jack. I'm sorry.
you're the Dick. Yeah, I'm calling. You know, I'm calling Jack as soon as we're done. I'm going to say, Jack, I found the guy.
yeah, I appreciate it. Anyhow, well, okay, you guys have a good day.
Hey, thanks.
Thank you, Dick.
I know. We're at the end here, so we'll close it out for today. Back tomorrow here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.